Test, test. Test, test, test. Test, test, test. Mic check, mic check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is our 640 transmission check. 640 transmission check for 645 airtime. And good evening. We welcome you to LP Franz Stadium in Hickory, North Carolina for the first of a six-game series between the Hickory Crawdads as they take on the Asheville Tourists tonight. Of course, the Asheville Tourists, the high A affiliate within the South Atlantic League for the Houston Astros, taking on your high A affiliate for the 2023 World Champion Texas Rangers. Good evening, everybody. Brian Rushing here with you. So glad you could join us on this gorgeous Tuesday night. Both of these clubs, after a rainout on Sunday against their respective opponents, had the day off, as is commonly the case in the minor league baseball schedule on Monday. So with a couple of days of not playing games, this is a club that, these are two clubs that have any nagging injuries or anything, a couple days to heal up. I know it's still early, but pretty much from day one, these guys are never at 100%, so a couple of opportunities for these guys to rest up and get healed up from some of the dings and bruises that occur across the course of a 132-game minor league season. For the Hickory Crawdads, a five-game series as it was, they would win two, lose three against the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Of course, the Saturday contest against the Greensboro Grasshoppers was an 8-0 loss. The offense could never really get anything going. Greensboro used the long ball early in the contest, and they would stretch it out and give themselves a lead, and they would not look back in the game on Saturday night. Of course, Friday night, Winston Santos put together a phenomenal effort for the Hickory Crawdads. Five innings of work. He allowed one hit. He struck out 12 batters over the course of his five innings. The offense got going early on, got enough through to get them the 5-3 win against the Greensboro Grasshoppers. They want to try to see if they can get back to some winning ways here at LP Franz Stadium. The last time that they were here was the first series of the season as they split six games with Jersey Shore. Tonight is a 7 o'clock game. Tomorrow, a 6 o'clock game. And then on Thursday, we have an 11 a.m. Education Day start. We come back on the other side of the timeout. We'll talk about the starting lineups. We'll let you know about the pitchers coming up on this Tuesday night. It's a beautiful night for baseball, and you'll get to hear it and see it on MILB.TV and HickoryCrawdads.com. It's the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be back in just a bit. Back here at LP Franz Stadium, Hickory, North Carolina, the first of a six-game series against the high A affiliate for the Houston Astros, the Asheville Tourists, as they'll take on your Hickory Crawdads. I've got the lineups. Let's go ahead and take a look this evening at the Asheville Tourists. The Asheville Tourists come in with a record of 6-8 on the year, losers of three straight as they took on the Rome Emperors last week. Jaron Williams will lead off. He'll be the third baseman, coming in with a .389 average, one homer, four RBI on the season. This Asheville Tourist Club, I'll let you know right now, they love the long ball. They have 17 homers on the season. That is a South Atlantic League leader in that category, as they put together some pretty prodigious OPS numbers. We'll get to talk about this a little bit later on. Batting second will be Tyler Whitaker, the center fielder. Luis Baez will bat third in left field, a 300 hitter with two homers and eight runs driven in. Cam Fisher, who recently last year finished his college playing career at UNC Charlotte, he's going to get the start over at first base, 268 average with four long balls, 10 RBI on the season. Logan Cerny will bat fifth. He'll be the designated hitter this evening. Narby Cruz will bat sixth. He'll be the second baseman. Ryan Johnson, the shortstop, bats seventh. Garrett Gilmet, the catcher, he'll bat eighth. A 241 average for Gilmet, one homer, four RBI on the season. Jackson Lofton will bat ninth. He'll be the right fielder this evening, and that'll round out the lineup for the Asheville Tourist. Of course, the manager of the Asheville Tourist, Nate Shaver. His lineup again: Williams, Whitaker, Baez, Fisher, Cerny, Cruz, Johnson, Gilmet, and Lofton. For those of you that are keeping score out there wherever you are, let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Hickory Crawdads. Jason Morabell will lead off. He'll be the left fielder, coming in with a 205 average on the year. Tucker Mitchell, last time he was here in this ball yard, he had a grand slam homer to help propel the Crawdads to a 10-8 win against Jersey Shore. He'll bat second at first base. Sebastian Walcott, he really started coming around over the weekend in Greensboro. He bats third. He'll play shortstop this evening. Anthony Gutierrez will bat cleanup. He's the center fielder this evening. Ben Blackwell gets the start over at second base. He'll bat fifth. Yossi Galan bats sixth. He's the designated hitter. He had back-to-back nights of long balls in Greensboro. Haven't seen him play throughout the entirety of the weekend in Greensboro. He's in the lineup tonight. Hopefully, he'll be able to give this offense a little bit of a charge. Ian Moeller will bat seventh. He'll be the catcher. Daniel Mateo back in the lineup tonight. He's in right field. Marco Soto will bat ninth. He'll be the third baseman this evening for the Hickory Crawdads. Soto comes into this game with a very small window of opportunity, 333 average on the year. So recapping the Crawdads lineup: Morabell, Mitchell, Walcott, Gutierrez, Blackwell, Galan, Moeller, Mateo, and Soto. The pitching matchup this evening, it's going to be Brock Porter. Brock Porter was scheduled to start on Sunday. The washout pushed him back a couple days. He'll get the ball this evening for the Crawdads. For Asheville, it'll be Jake Bloss that gets the baseball. Jake Bloss from nearby Greensboro, North Carolina, a third-round draft pick last year out of Georgetown University. We come back on the other side of the timeout. Will they be that much closer to first pitch on this beautiful Tuesday here on the Crawdads Radio Network? We'll be right back. Back here at LP Franz Stadium, a gorgeous Tuesday night. The temperature is going to be in the mid-70s at first pitch. The wind's blowing out to left field. For those of you that have been tuning in before, of course, this is the first year in about a decade that we've been calling games for the Hickory Crawdads as we've brought back the MILB.TV utility as well as HickoryCrawdads.com for our audio streaming. All of that made possible by the folks at MILB and Pixelot, which is our AI camera service that is basically going to be carrying all of this action. So settle in, enjoy it. For those of you that are not able to be here tonight, you're going to be in for what I hope to be a fun game, as this Crawdads Club really has started to find their way a little bit offensively. Put together a very good performance on Sunday against Jersey Shore when they won the game 10-8. Of course, this Asheville Tourist Club, this is, according to the numbers, the best offensive club here in the early going in the South Atlantic League. Obviously, when you play at McCormick Field, it's going to help heighten those offensive numbers, as McCormick Field is a virtual hitter's paradise and just a beautiful, beautiful ballpark to catch the action. I love it every chance I get to go to McCormick Field, and I can't wait to get there a little bit later on in the baseball season. A full slate of games tonight in the South Atlantic League, as Bowling Green is going to make their way to Hudson Valley this evening. That game started at 6 o'clock this evening. Wilmington and Brooklyn, they're going to start at about the same time that we are here at 7. Rome has made their way to Winston-Salem, where they'll start their series tonight at 7 o'clock. At 7:05, the Greensboro Grasshoppers will go down Interstate 85 to the Greenville, South Carolina Drive at Fluor Field for a 7:05 first pitch. And then the final first pitch of the evening will be Jersey Shore taking on Aberdeen. So that's the schedule of action tonight. Of course, we'll keep an eye on all the scores. We're going to take it down to the field for the singing of our national anthem. And we welcome you back to LP Franz Stadium, just moments away from the start of action, a six-game series on the docket for this week between two clubs that are about as close as you can get to each other in the South Atlantic League. Obviously, you've got Asheville going toward the west on I-40. Basically, the I-40 corridor almost cuts this South Atlantic League in half, as you've got Asheville, you've got Hickory, you've got Greensboro. You do have a lot of teams north in the South Atlantic League, but Greensboro in the North Division pretty much is the split as it relates to the geography of the South Atlantic League map, and it's been that way for some time now. As we get an opportunity to take a look at Brock Porter. Porter, 6'5", 210-pound right-hander out of Milford, Michigan, a fourth-round pick back in 2022. We take a look at Porter's numbers, an 0-1 record on the year, 3.60 ERA, making his third start. Five innings pitched so far this season. He's allowed two hits, two runs. They're both earned. He's given up a home run on the season. He's walked seven batters. He struck out five. A 1.18 average against. As is the case at this level, pitchers are developing. And in that development, they're going to have some games to where they are really spot on. Brock Porter has one of those nights tonight. Could give something thrilling to look at for this home crowd. As Jaron Williams will step to the plate to get this game started. 75 degrees will be the first pitch temperature when we get things started. And looks like we're going to get started at 7:01 this evening. Williams, a 389 hitter, as that fastball misses high. One home run, four driven in on the season. He's over at the hot corner for the tourist this evening. The 1-0, that ball smashed sharply out to second base. Ben Blackwell fields, fires over to first base. Tucker Mitchell makes the snag, and there's quickly one down here at LP Franz Stadium. Let's go ahead and get to the defensive alignment this evening. For the Hickory Crawdads, Jason Morabell will be over in left field this evening. Anthony Gutierrez in center. Daniel Mateo back in the lineup tonight. He's over at right field. It's Porter. Fastball catches the outside edge at 90 miles an hour. Over at third base this evening, Marco Soto, Sebastian Walcott at short. The aforementioned Ben Blackwell at second as that slider misses down. Count evens at 1-1. Tucker Mitchell at first. The catcher this evening, Ian Moeller. That's the defensive alignment for Chad Comers, Hickory Crawdads. Fastball misses away. Count goes to 2-1. Tyler Whitaker, a 302 hitter, no homers, 6 RBI on this season. That fastball is going to be lifted high into shallow right field. Blackwell is drifting back, but Mateo calls him off, makes the catch, and there's two down. I talked about it in the pregame show, but it bears repeating at this point. The Asheville Tourist, according to the numbers in this very early part of the season, the most prodigious offensive lineup in the league. A 266 team average, that is 21 points better than the next best club. The next best club, the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Is that pitch taken for a strike? They lead the league in home runs, 17. They lead the league in RBIs with 82. They have an OPS of 815. 815 is not a bad offensive number for individuals. You put a team there, that's a pretty solid number. The breaking ball for Brock Porter is across the plate. Three strikes on the batter, Luis Baez. First strikeout for Porter. We've quickly played a half an inning. We come back. The Crawdads come to bat scoreless on the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Bottom of the first inning. Crawdads coming to the plate. They'll be facing off against Jake Bloss, right-hander. Jake Bloss, 6'3", 223 pounds, out of nearby Greensboro, North Carolina, a third-round draft pick last year out of Georgetown University. Spent parts of last year in the Complex League, and then, of course, for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, the low-A affiliate in the Carolina League of the Houston Astros. Jason Morabell will lead things off for the Crawdads on this Tuesday evening. Left-handed batter waits for the first delivery of the right-hander, Bloss. That ball is going to be fouled back to the screen. Jason Morabell, a 205 hitter, no home runs, 4 RBI on the season. This is game number 15 for the Crawdads as Morabell takes a breaking ball for a strike at 77 miles an hour. Morabell followed by Tucker Mitchell, Sebastian Walcott. That's the upper third of the order for the Crawdads as Morabell's going to lift that one out into very shallow left field, drifting back and making the catch to third baseman Jaron Williams. And there's quickly one down. The defensive alignment this evening for Asheville, Luis Baez in left field, Tyler Whitaker in center, Jackson Lofton over in right field. Jaron Williams over at third, Ryan Johnson at short, Narbe Cruz is over at second, Cam Fisher over at first base. Garrett Gilmet behind home plate this evening. Tucker Mitchell swings and misses on a breaking ball. Tucker Mitchell, the right-handed batter, with pull tendencies, according to the defensive alignment that the tourists are employing here as they are running a pull shift, as the second baseman, Narbe Cruz, is literally a full step over to the right of the second base back. Mitchell waits on the 1-1. That pitch misses outside. Bloss, the 2-1, fouled into the mitt of the catcher, Garrett Gilmet, count evens, 2-2. We'll tell you how the clubs are looking on the field tonight in just a moment. It's Mitchell back in the box, the 2-2 offering from Jake Bloss. Here it comes, it's right down the middle for strike three. Mitchell is a strikeout victim, the first of the ball game for Jake Bloss. And with two down, that brings up Sebastian Walcott. Walcott, the young man out of Nassau, the Bahamas, non-drafted free agent from last year, made it to Hickory last year as a 17-year-old. Yes, he's 18 now. As the slider misses away, taken for a ball. Walcott had some very good at-bats against the Greensboro Grasshoppers over the weekend. He's making progression as that pitch misses. Count goes to 2-0. Walcott comes in with a 146 average on the year. No homers, no runs driven in. Bloss wheels and fires the 2-0. As Walcott's going to check that one over toward the first base dugout where the Asheville Tourists occupy. The Crawdads over on the third base side, as is customary here at L.P. Franz Stadium. Bloss looks in for the sign, has the sign, now delivers the 2-1. Walcott takes the fastball up for at 96 miles an hour, and the count goes to 3-1. Cruz, one step over to the right field side of the second base bag, just like Mitchell. So that pitch misses high, and Walcott draws a two-out walk. It's the first walk allowed, of course, by Jake Bloss. That's going to bring up Anthony Gutierrez. Now, of course, the Crawdads have, over the body of the first 15 games or so, have had a bit of a slow start offensively. But when they've gotten on base, they've actually had pretty good success on the base paths. As Walcott's going to go, that pitch is going to be fouled back by Gutierrez, as he had gotten a very solid jump and would have likely stolen the bag. Count goes back to 0-1 as Walcott retreats to first. For the Crawdads, this is a club that has 16 stolen bases on the season. So they're averaging more than one a game. However, that's nowhere near the lead. That pitch is going to get away from the catcher, Garrett Gilmet, and getting down to second base on the wild pitch. It's going to be Sebastian Walcott. If you're wondering who the leader in the South Atlantic League is, it's the Aberdeen Ironbirds with a staggering, I cannot believe this number, 45 stolen bases already this year. That's three per ball game. That's high school, college-like numbers. Gutierrez takes a breaking ball for a strike, a slider from Bloss at 89 miles an hour. The count goes to 1-2. Sebastian Walcott with the lead down at second. Two down here in the bottom of the first inning. The pitch, Gutierrez swings and misses on the breaking ball. We're through an inning here in Hickory. Scoreless. We'll be back in just a bit on the Crawdads Radio Network.
You know the ones who give and give and then give some more? The brave ones who serve from the heart and choose love, who make untold sacrifice to help others get ahead, and who are always there when you need them. We see you, and we're celebrating you. To the ones who help make us exceptional, thank you. People's Bank. Be exceptional. Visit peoplesbanknc.com. Member FDIC Equal Opportunity Lender.
Top of the second inning here at LP Franz Stadium. So glad that you could join us this evening for a little Crawdads baseball. Scoreless ball game through one inning. Stepping to the plate to begin the second inning, it's going to be the middle third of the order. Cam Fisher, Logan Cerny, and Narbe Cruz. Fisher, a .268 average, four homers, 10 runs driven in. Had the pleasure of watching this young man play not too far away from the uniform as he played college baseball for UNC Charlotte, the 49ers. As that pitch misses in tight, the count goes to 2-0. This is a young man who was drafted by the Houston Astros out of Morganton, North Carolina, by way of UNC Charlotte. As the pitch misses inside, it's now 3-0. It's Brock Porter's running close to walking Cam Fisher. Fourth round from the Charlotte 49ers. And he's got pop. He's got big-time power. So that fastball is going to miss away. Cam Fisher's going to have a four-pitch walk to open the frame. Crawdads fans, all season long, Pete and Jerry's Home Run Eggs, the official egg partner of Minor League Baseball, invites you to show off your excellent moves in the Shelly's Shake Your Tail Feathers Dance-Off for your chance to win free eggs. Pete and Jerry's eggs are in a league of their own. Their hens are free to frolic under sunny skies on small family farms. It's Porter's first pitch, taken for a strike. They're laying eggs with impeccable taste and quality. Find them at your local supermarket and bring them home today. Pete and Jerry's Home Run Eggs. The 0-1, Porter delivers breaking ball. Misses down. That's only my guess. Count evens at 1-1. Cam Fisher, the runner over at first base, being held on by Tucker Mitchell. Porter sets, delivers. Fastball to the inner third, taken for strike two. Cerny, a 133 hitter on the year. Two homers, four RBI. The Sashville Tourist Club, 32 doubles on the year. That leads the South Atlantic League as well. It's the breaking ball, taken down, the throw to second. Cam Fisher's going to have himself a stolen base. So for Cam Fisher, not only does the young man have power, but he's showing off a little speed as he's now got his fourth stolen base in as many attempts. Fisher, as you might imagine, with his four home runs, is tied for third in the league. So he's tied with a bunch of players in the South Atlantic League. Here's the offering from Porter. That ball lifted very high into left center field. Walcott's going to peel off. Gutierrez will make the catch, and there's one down in the second inning. That'll bring up Narby Cruz. Narby Cruz, 300 hitter, no home runs, 7 RBI. Narby Cruz, a 6'2", 208-pound non-drafted free agent back in 2020 from Havana, Cuba. Played last year for the Woodpeckers. Porter. Pitch up. They'll check down to the base umpire slotted between the mound and the shortstop position. They say that Cruz did commit to the swing. The count is 0-1. Porter. Sets, Porter delivers, breaking ball, swung on and missed, count goes to 0-2. Asheville this evening wearing the gray jerseys with tourist across the chest. It's a button-up jersey. They do have the deep blue numbers on the back. That change up from Porter gets a swing and a miss from Cruz. There's two down in the inning. It's the second strikeout for Brock Porter. And that's going to bring up Ryan Johnson. The pants for the tourist, a gray pant with a navy blue piping stripe. The deep blue helmets, part of the navy blue hat that they wear with that deeper, softer blue that they'll wear on the bill of the cap with the relatively new Asheville A, certainly not the same A that I remember from back in the tourist days. The first go-round, they were with the Houston Astros organization. That ball is going to be lifted out to center field. Gutierrez is going to play it on a bounce. There'll be a play at the plate. The throw's going to get through the tag. Not in time. It's Cam Fisher scores, and it's 1-0 in favor of the tourist. Ryan Johnson gets the base hit. It's his fifth RBI on the season. And the Asheville Tourists take a 1-0 lead. Gutierrez was able to get a running start in tracking the ball down. There was no way he was going to catch it in the air, so he was able to get to it quickly. The throw was good, just a tad tardy, as Fisher was busting it from second base with two down in the inning. And that'll bring up Garrett Gilmet. Gilmet, a 241 hitter. It's the fastball at 91, taken for a strike. So the tourists, they have the lead, 1-0, here in the top of the second inning. Porter sets. Breaking ball taken for a ball. The throw down to second is going to be in time. Ryan Johnson is going to get cut down 2-4 to retire the side in the second. It's a run on a hit. He's cut down trying to steal. We've played an inning and a half here at LP Franz Stadium. The Tourist 1, the Crawdads 0 on the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Thank you. Bottom of the second inning. Crawdads trailing 1-0 in the first of a six-game series throughout the course of this week. A 7 o'clock start tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow to give the clubs an extra hour of rest prior to a Thursday 11 a.m. Education Day start. Leading off will be Ben Blackwell, who shoots it through the right side. They ran the pull shift on Blackwell. He decides to poke it through the right side of the infield. He's got himself a leadoff knock to get things started in the second inning for the Crawdads. And that'll bring up Yossi Galan. If there has been an established power threat for this Hickory Crawdads club here in the very early portion of this year, basically 1/10 of the way through the season, Yossi Galan has become that presence as the pitch cut on and missed a 93-mile-an-hour fastball from Jake Bloss. Yossi Galan, a .259 average, 3 homers, 8 runs driven in. He had a home run on Sunday that helped create further separation for the Crawdads against Jersey Shore, and they would end up needing it as the pitch misses in tight. Count evens at 1-1. Galan further hit 2 home runs earlier in the week, last week against the Greensboro Grasshoppers, as he found First National Bank Field very favorable to the long ball. Blackwell goes. The pitch is a strike. The throw down to second, not in time. Blackwell gets the stolen base. For Ben Blackwell, that is going to be his 4th stolen base in as many attempts, much like Cam Fisher, the first baseman for the Tourist. Galan, a 2-1 count. I thought that pitch was going to be called a strike. It was not. It's a 2-1 count. Galan tied up with the next pitch, evens the count at 2-2. Yossi Galan, 6'2", 200 pounds, out of Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, non-drafted free agent in 2020. The 2-2 fouled into the mitt of Gilmet. There's one down in the inning. Three strikeouts in the game already for Jake Bloss. Bloss, a 1.08 ERA coming into the contest, 0-1 record, 8 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned, 4 walks, 10 strikeouts, a 179 average against. Moeller's going to lift that ball foul up onto the rooftop where it'll trickle down toward the concourse area. On this Dollar Dog Night, which, yes, it's that, but it's also more. I'll explain after the pitch. Bloss misses high, count evens at 1-1. So on a Dollar Dog Night, yes, you can get a dollar hot dog. Great deal. It's a good hot dog. I've had one already, not tonight. But you can also get your dog in for a dollar as well. So it's kind of bark in the park, but not entirely. But it keeps the theme of the Dollar Dog Night going. You can bring your dog to the game for a dollar, which is still a great deal. You can have yourself a barking good time, as we hear throughout the game. As Moeller's going to lift that pitch foul against the screen. LP Franz Stadium, with the wind blowing out to left somewhat tonight. This ballpark typically blows out to left center during the warmer months here in the South Atlantic League, and it makes it a much more favorable hitter's park. As the pitch misses inside, count runs full, 3 balls and 2 strikes. It's a symmetrical outfield wall, 332 down each line, 376 in each gap, 400 to dead center. An 8-foot-high wall with multiple tiers of adds behind the initial wall. As the slider misses, Ian Moeller is going to draw himself a 1-out walk. The second walk given up by Bloss so far this evening, and that's going to bring up Daniel Mateo. Mateo, a .250 hitter, no homers, no RBI on the season, but an opportunity here to try to see if he can level this thing, a 1-0 lead for the Asheville Tourist here in the bottom of the second inning. Bloss looks over to second. The breaking pitch swung on and missed as he threw the slider 88 miles an hour. Mateo, I did not see him play at all over the weekend in Greensboro, as we did cover two of the three, scheduled to do three games, as we've got a double steal, and there's going to be no throw. Ian Moeller trailed Ben Blackwell. Blackwell gets the third on the steal, and with that double steal, well, certainly the numbers are going to go up a little bit, as they've got three steals in the inning, and now a base knock could conceivably give the Crawdads a lead here. Mateo waits on the 0-2. As that ball is going to be hit off the end of the bat toward the on-deck circle over on the first base side. Crowd still filing in even for this being a 7 o'clock ball game. Either that or they heard me talking about dollar hot dogs and they scrambled to the concession stand. Either is a possibility. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball misses outside. Count goes to 1-2. A natural grass field here at LP Franz Stadium with your typical red dirt warning track surrounding it. Not a ton of foul ground here as the pitch is fouled back by Mateo. As you go up and down the South Atlantic League, you'll see ballparks that'll have more foul territory than others. Greensboro is going to have more foul territory just because they actually have the bullpens on the field of play. That's becoming more and more of a rarity in minor league baseball. So that fastball misses high at 96 miles an hour, and the count goes to 2-2. Ben Blackwell, the runner over at third. Ian Moeller, the runner at second. One down here in the bottom of the second inning. Asheville with a 1-0 lead. Blas delivers. Mateo drives that ball out to left center field. That may get down for extra bases as it's going to check up at the track. The catch is going to be made. It's going to tie the game. It's going to be a sacrifice fly. Daniel Mateo has his first RBI of the season. Blackwell scores easily, getting over to third as Ian Moeller. And with two down, that's going to bring up Marco Soto. So it'll be an F7 sacrifice if you're scoring at home for the second out of the inning. But the RBI for Mateo is his first. It's the team's first run scored. We're back to level at one apiece. Marco Soto takes a first pitch strike at the very top of the strike zone. Soto joined the club in Greensboro last week, a 5'11", 145-pound switch hitter out of Venezuela. Spent time in the Complex League for the Rangers before getting here, as he was signed earlier this season. Soto, 24 years old, had a birthday recently in earlier March. As Blas, fastball misses up. Jake Blas can dial it up, make no mistake about it. He's sitting mid-90s with that fastball. It can sometimes get down to as, I don't want to say as little because that's hardly the term, 93. But he's been consistently around 95, 96. That slider swung on and missed. Soto, a strikeout victim. That's four punch-outs in the ballgame for Jake Blas. But the Crawdads level the score at one apiece. We'll be back in just a bit for inning number three on the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Top of the third inning. Brock Porter gets a little help in the bottom half of the second inning. We're tied at one apiece. It'll be Garrett Gilmet, the scheduled hitter, at the plate, to be followed by Jackson Lofton, then back to the top of the order for Jaron Williams. As that ball is going to be chopped foul. Gilmet, a .241 hitter, as we mentioned, his last plate appearance that was not really an official plate appearance, as Ryan Johnson was cut down trying to steal to end the second inning. Each club with a run, each club with a hit, as that breaking ball from Porter gets away from him over the head of Garrett Gilmet. So glad you could join us on this gorgeous Tuesday evening. Temperatures today sat in the mid-70s up in the uniform as the ball is fouled straight back. The count goes full to 3 balls and 2 strikes. And the weather should be good for much of this week. I have not seen a report about rain. Now, I don't live directly in this area, but the general consensus is we won't have rain for much of this week. As Gilmet's going to draw the leadoff walk here in the top of the third inning. The free pass of Gilmet is the second for Brock Porter. That'll bring up Jackson Lofton. Lofton, a right fielder, 167 hitter, does have a home run, 2 runs driven in. Out of Spring, Texas, a 13th round draft pick back in 2022, out of Oral Roberts University. It's the pitch from Porter, taken for a strike. Tucker Mitchell holding on the runner over at first base. There's the pitch. Slider misses down. They'll check to the base umpire. Nothing happening there. Count evens at 1-1. Lofton, a right-handed batter. Waits on the 1-1. They'll instead throw over to first. Chasing Gilmet back to the bag. The Crawdads this evening, they're wearing their black dad's jerseys tonight. Dad's written across the chest in white, a black jersey with a piping stripe going around the collar and down the buttons. As that ball is lifted very high, it's drifting out to the track. The catch is going to be made in left field by Jason Morbell. That ball got out a lot deeper than a lot of folks were anticipating. You can tell in the upper levels here of the ballpark, the wind is blowing out to left, and that ball almost got a helping hand out of the yard. Stayed in the yard. Catch was made. There's one down here in the third. That'll take us back to the top of the order for Jaron Williams, who grounded out to second his first time up. Breaking ball is going to get launched foul over to the first base side. That's going to make its way up to the party porch. You've got a picnic deck, you've got a party deck, and you've got a party porch. People in Hickory like to party, apparently. That ball is going to be lifted foul out toward the concession stands over on the third base side. Hopefully nobody looking for a dollar dog got a $2 bruise. Mitchell holding on the runner at first. That's Garrett Gilmet. Porter. Oh, no ball, 2-strike pitch. That ball is going to get away from Ian Moeller. Getting down to second is Gilmet on the wild pitch. So Gilmet down at second, top of the third inning. One down, a 1-1 ball game between the Tourist and the Crawdads. Porter, that ball, hit out to center field. Gutierrez coming in to make the catch, and there's two down. That ball got in on the hands a little bit. He didn't barrel it perfectly. Gets out to Gutierrez for the second out of the inning, and that's going to bring up Tyler Whitaker. So now's as good a time as any to finish up the look for the dads, and then maybe next half inning we'll talk about how you can make this broadcast interactive by reaching out to me throughout the course of the game. The dad's jersey with the white letters, the white numbers on the back. They're wearing the black crawdad's hat with the claw, state of North Carolina, the star right there in the uniform, wearing the white pants, no piping stripe, anything of that sort. It's the fastball from Porter, misses 91 miles an hour to Tyler Whitaker. Whitaker flew out to right, his only time up. It's the runner down at second is Garrett Gilmet with two down in the inning. Porter, breaking ball, just missed. Count goes to 2-0. For those that keep their pants up to their knees or beyond, they're wearing the black socks and any variety of shoes to be worn, black, white, red, whatever. As the pitch finally called a strike to the outer third, works the count to 3-1. 1-1 ball game, both teams scoring a single run in the second inning. Porter deals as that pitch misses outside. Tyler Whitaker draws a two-out walk. And that's going to bring up Luis Baez. Baez, a strikeout victim looking his first time up. It's Baez with an opportunity here to give the Tourists back the lead if he can convert something into the outfield. Luis Baez, 6'1", 225 pounds, out of the Dominican Republic, a free agent signed from 2022. They're running Baez, a little bit of a pull shift in the infield. Blackwell about two or three steps away from the second base bag on the edge of the grass. Walcott a little bit deeper into the hole. It's the breaking ball for Porter, taken for a strike. Porter delivers. That ball's going to get hit off the end of the bat toward the on-deck circle. On that first base side, the count quickly goes to 0-2. Porter's pitch tried the changeup, just missed outside. Count goes to 1-2. Porter delivers the 1-2. Zad breaking ball cut on and missed by Baez. Porter walks a couple batters in the third inning, but he's able to wiggle out of the jam. We've played 2.5 innings here in Hickory. A 1-1 ball game. We'll be back in just a bit on the Hickory Crawdads Radio Network. Bottom of the third inning. So glad that you could join us this evening. Tuesday night baseball at LP Franz Stadium, the first of a six-game series between the Asheville Tourist and the Hickory Crawdads. The affiliates, a Lone Star battle this week. The Astros High A affiliate the Texas Rangers, High A affiliate, matching wits with each other here in Asheville. Or I should say here in Hickory. They'll be in Asheville a little bit later on. Won't be too much longer before I get a chance to enjoy calling a game at McCormick Field. Jake Bloss. Fastball hit sharply by Jason Morabell, but it's foul. Count evens at 1-1. Morabell, first time up, popped up to third base in the shallow grass of left field. It's the wind actually picking up toward left field a little bit. I have a feeling the ball's going to carry well out to left tonight, and hopefully the wind's always blowing when the Crawdads are at the plate. This is a club that could really use another big number on the night. Bloss delivers. Morabell swings and misses, a strikeout. That's the fifth of the game already for Jake Bloss. And with one down, that's going to bring up Tucker Mitchell. Folks, let's go ahead and make the broadcast interactive. You can reach out to me a couple of ways throughout the course of the broadcast. If you want to let me know that you're tuning in, where you might be listening or watching this evening, I'd love to say hello to you. If you've got a question for me during the course of the game, would love to give you an answer. If I don't have the answer immediately, I'll certainly try to research it in between innings, and if I have to wait till tomorrow, I can do that too. Bloss delivers. Fastball misses down. Couple ways you can reach out to me. One, through email, brush@hickorycrawdads.com, or brush, I don't like that much. I'd prefer to call it brush, but you do you. brush@hickorycrawdads.com. Send me an email. Let me know where you're tuning in this evening. Would love to say hello and interact with you throughout the course of tonight's game. It's the pitch to Mitchell. Misses down. The count goes to 3-0. Mitchell, strikeout looking, his first time up. 1-1 ball game. One run, one hit, no errors for both clubs. Mitchell going to roll that one foul toward the first base coach's box. Count goes to 3-1. If you want to reach out to me by way of X or Twitter, whatever you call it, you can find me at What's Up B-Rush PXP. That's at What's Up B-Rush PXP. It's the 3-1. Mitchell can't catch up to the 94-mile-an-hour fastball. The count now full, 3-2. Tucker Mitchell appears to be wearing some new cleats this evening. That is a deep red color of cleats for Tucker Mitchell. That pitch is going to miss inside. It's going to be a free pass for Tucker Mitchell as he'll get the one-out walk here in the third inning. It's going to be the third free pass given up by Jake Bloss, and that's going to bring up Sebastian Walcott, who walked his first time up. So runner down at first, Tucker Mitchell with one down here in the bottom of the third inning as the sun still working on setting here. We're still probably maybe a half an hour to 45 minutes away from watching the ashen color overtake the skies here at LP Franz Stadium. And then about an hour and 15 minutes, will be completely dark with only the lights to illuminate this contest. As the pitch to Walcott misses, count goes to 2-0. Walcott, 2-0, takes a strike at the top of the zone. Breaking ball gets away from the catcher, Garrett Gilmet. Mitchell thought about taking liberties and going to second, decided not to. So stay at first, the count, 3-1. Mitchell goes. The pitch taken for a strike. The throw down to second, not in time. Tucker Mitchell gets a stolen base. That's the fourth of the ball game for the Running Crawdads this evening. It's for Mitchell. That's his first stolen base of the year. And now the club has 20 on the season. And something that I saw earlier today when the club was out taking batting practice, they spent a little extra time working on bunting. As the pitch cut on and missed. Sebastian Walcott, it's the second out of the inning on the breaking ball. So that's going to bring up Anthony Gutierrez. Gutierrez rolls that to the left side of the infield. It's going to go off the glove of the shortstop, Ryan Johnson, and it's a 2-1 ball game. Tucker Mitchell, and that's the benefit of stealing the bag. If that ball gets through the left side of the infield, best case scenario prior to the steal is that Tucker Mitchell gets to third, and he probably would have stayed at second. The stolen base, especially with two down in the inning, gives the Crawdads a different angle to play. A little bit of manufactured small ball gets the run across. They have the 2-1 advantage. They're going to give a base hit to Anthony Gutierrez. It'll be an RBI single as Gutierrez just about caught off the first base back. He was leaning a little bit to second. Jake Bloss threw over and almost picked him off. So Ben Blackwell at the plate with two down here in the bottom of the third inning. Gutierrez wandered off again as Blackwell takes a strike. Gutierrez still trying to get a read on the move of Jake Bloss and clearly has intentions of trying to steal a base. Clearly, when you think about this club working on bunting, stealing some bases here, they're trying to open up the offense. As they'll throw back to first. He gets under the tag of the first baseman, Cam Fisher. So we'll see what happens here. Now that two disengagements have occurred in this at-bat, he's going to go. The pitch is taken up. The throw down to second. It's not in time. The defensive unit for the Asheville Tourists thought surely they had gotten him. They did not, as the throw hopped off the grass. So Cruz ended up having, or I should say Ryan Johnson ended up having to, no, that was Cruz. The second baseman covered the bag, had to end up trying to pick the ball and then lay the tag back down. One ball, one strike count. That's five stolen bases for the Crawdads this evening. So they'll throw down to second. Gutierrez definitely getting the attention of Jake Bloss here in the bottom of the third inning. Blackwell tries to drive the ball to the right side. It's up and foul beyond the concourse area. It's much of the crowd here this evening actually hanging out at the picnic tables and at one of the party porches or party decks or picnic pavilion areas. Bloss. Looks Gutierrez back. Gutierrez trying to get to third. That ball drifting back to right field, coming over to make the catch in right field as Jackson Lofton a step shy of the track. But the Crawdads scratch across another run. We go to the fourth. A 2-1 lead for the Crawdads here on the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Back here at LP Franz Stadium, a 2-1 lead for the Crawdads as we go to the fourth inning. Last half inning, I made the broadcast interactive, so I've got a couple of interactions from those of you that are tuning in this evening. Let's go ahead and get to them. Want to say hello to John Chigueras, checking out the game from Davenport, Florida, as he runs a high school production crew for sporting events at one of the local high schools. Davenport High School in Florida. The Broncos beat Haines City, the Hornets, this evening. So congratulations to the Davenport Broncos in their win in Florida State High School baseball action. John, it's always good hearing from you. Hope things are well with the family in the Orlando area. It's Cam Fisher will lead things off here in the fourth inning. It's Porter now with a 2-1 advantage. Fastball at 90 miles an hour, misses outside. Brock Porter had a chance to meet his parents over the weekend, delightful people. They did not get to see his start in Greensboro that was washed out. But Porter, through three innings, has allowed just one hit. It's the breaking ball, just misses. Count goes to 3-0. Cam Fisher walked his first time up. He would be the run to score in the second inning. Also had a stolen base. As the pitch misses inside, as Cam Fisher walks again on four straight. That'll bring up Logan Cerny. Well, I've got an opportunity. I also want to say hello to at BJ underscore Bowie. Judson Bowie, good question. And I'm going to give you all the qualifiers here in just a moment. Porter, breaking ball, misses down. Judson Bowie asked the question at What's Up B Rush PXP on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Over under on Yossi Gallant's 20 and a half home runs this year. Okay. It's the pitch taken right down Lenore Ryan Boulevard for a strike to even the count at one ball and one strike. Judson Bowie, here's the answer to my question. If we're talking about the entire 2024 season for Yossi Gallant, I think there's a real possibility we could see this guy have a big year offensively. 20 and a half home runs? I don't know. Because that ball's going to be lifted out to left field. It's going to be a single for Logan Cerny. Now there's runners at first and second with nobody down, and that brings up Narby Cruz. If Yossi Gallant gets plenty of at-bats here in Hickory and doesn't move up anywhere, then it's possible. But he's going to have to get a flurry of games together. And we've seen he can hit them in bunches. This is a club that doesn't necessarily, in recent years, hit a ton of home runs. You look at the numbers from last year, this was a club that was pretty much in the middle of the pack. This is not a home run hitter's paradise by any stretch of the imagination. And it's been a while since we've had a guy that put up the kind of numbers that, say, a Joey Gallo did during his time here that had the potential to hit big-time home runs. And for a lot of these guys, as they're youngsters, the power thing is always the thing that develops last. The pitch from Porter taken for a strike. Runners at first and second. Cam Fisher down at second. Logan Cierney down at first. I know you're waiting for an answer. Over, under. I'll give it to you in just a moment. Porter. That ball rolled out to Walcott. Walcott's got one play only. He goes to Tucker Mitchell for the 6-3 putout. Everybody advances 90 feet. And that'll bring up Ryan Johnson. Johnson had the single that scored Cam Fisher in the second inning. And he'll have another RBI opportunity here against Brock Porter. If you were to ask me about Gallon, you're going to ultimately ask me if 21's going to do it, breaking ball from Porter taken for a strike. I don't know if he's going to get 21. But I don't know if that's necessarily what the Rangers organization's looking for. If they get 15 or 16 out of him, I think it's still a productive year, especially if he can put together a good average with solid run production. As Porter misses, count evens at 1-1. Thank you for the question. Hopefully you guys will be sending me questions like that throughout the course of the season. I can tell you this. If he gets to any point in the year to where he gets close to that number and it's not September yet, we may see him move up. It's that breaking ball. Cut on and missed. Count goes to 1-2. 2-1 lead for the Crawdads. Top of the fourth inning. But Asheville is threatening. The infield now coming in about halfway. Now they're even with the bags. The 1-2 to Johnson. Breaking ball. Just misses. Count goes to 2-2. The pitch from Porter misses. The count runs full. With one down in the inning, there would be some expectation, you would imagine, that Nate Shaver could have the contact play on. Here's the payoff. Porter misses high. The bases are loaded. And now with the bases loaded, that's going to bring up Garrett Gilmet. The bullpen is active for the Crawdads. That looks like just a mound visit here. I believe that to be Julio Valdez. It's definitely Julio Valdez. I'm now seeing Chad Comer emerge from the rooftop of the dugout. And this could be an opportunity to settle down Brock Porter in a big situation and also give the bullpen a little bit of time to get work. The fact of the matter is that Brock Porter came into this third start of the season with only five innings pitched. So if he were, now that he has pitched into the fourth, it's probably the longest he's gone this year. And with one down, he's a ground ball double play away from getting through the fourth, which would be huge. As the breaking ball misses. Porter. The fastball just misses. Now the count 2-0. Gilmet walked his first time up. A walk here would make it a 2-2 ball game. A pop-up, a strikeout, or a ground ball double play would all be nice as Porter misses, and now the count is 3-0. Cam Fisher, the runner at third. Logan Cierney, the runner at second. Ryan Johnson over at first. Porter sets. And he'll look down to second. Porter. This is outside. We're tied at two. So Gilmet walks for the second time in the ballgame. It's an RBI walk. And now Chad Colmer's going to come out, and that's going to spell the end of the night. Scoring is Cam Fisher. We're tied at two. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll tell you who's coming on to pitch for the Crawdads. Top of the fourth inning. We're tied at two with one out. We'll be back on the Crawdads Radio Network. Skyler Hales is on to pitch for the Crawdads. Hales, 6'5", 220-pound right-hander out of Reno, Nevada, a fourth-round pick from this past year. Spent some time last year with the Crawdads here in Hickory. Hales, 1-0 record on the year, 12.00 ERA, making his fifth appearance, six innings, nine hits, eight runs, all earned, three walks, eight strikeouts, and an opportunity here to get out of the fourth inning. This is the first pitch taken for a strike, an 84-mile-an-hour slider to Jackson Lofton. Again, a ground ball would be massive here as it would end the frame, keep it a 2-2 ball game, and give Hales an opportunity to really focus on inning five with a clean slate. Is that slider cut on and missed, count 0-2. At this point, it's an opportunity for Hales to get good work in and really kind of turn the tide over the last couple of appearances that he's made. As that ball is going to be lifted right around the first base bag. Tucker Mitchell will make the catch in foul territory, and there's two down in the inning. And that'll take us back to the top of the order for Jaron Williams. Williams 0-2 in the ballgame, a ground out and a pop out to center field. Hales, fastball at the knees for a strike at 96 miles an hour. Hales, the 0-1, misses inside at 96 again. Count evens at 1-1. Cierney, the runner at third. Johnson, the runner at second. Gilmet, the runner over at first. Here's the 1-1 from Hales. That ball's hit back up the middle, and it's going to give Asheville the lead. One run's going to score. Second run trying to come across. It'll be cut off at the plate, and it's a 4-2 ball game. Cierney and Johnson both score. Gilmet holds it second, and it's a two-run single for Jaron Williams, his fifth and sixth RBI of the season, and it's a two-run advantage for the Tourist. So a three spot here in the fourth inning have given them a two-run advantage. As the pitch misses down to Tyler Whitaker. Whitaker 0-for-1 officially, a fly out to right and a walk. Guilmette, the runner at second, still the responsibility of Brock Porter. As that pitch cut on and missed at 94, evens the count at 1-1. Porter in the contest, 3 1/3 innings, gave up 2 hits. Right now he's still responsible for the runner at second, but he's given up 4 runs. That pitch. Thought that might have been a strike. So the count goes to 2-1. Porter walks 6 in his appearances, in his appearance tonight. 6 walks, 3 strikeouts. Hales misses. And the count goes to 3-1. Hales sets. The 3-1. Fastball elevated, swung on and missed. Count runs full. Whitaker trying to jump on the elevated fastball. Came up empty. So a 2 down. These runners will be moving as soon as Hales goes plateward. Here's the pitch. Fastball just missed. And the partisans don't like that. If that missed, it missed by an eyelash. That's going to bring up Luis Baez. The first walk allowed by Skyler Hales, the 7th by Crawdad's pitching. Williams gets to second, Guilmette over to third. That ball is going to be lifted to the right side, but into the seats. It's foul ball. Beautiful evening here in the uniform for what should be a great weather week. Hales, fastball, cut on, and or I should say, took a little something off of that one. Baez falls behind 0-2. Baez has struck out looking and struck out swinging. Hales wants to make it a hat trick right here. Here's the pitch. Misses down. Count goes to 1-2. Here's the pitch. Fastball cut on and missed. Baez, a strikeout victim again. The first for Skyler Hales. A 3-run fourth for the Tourists. Make it 4-2. We come back. Crawdads will step to the plate down 2 runs on the Crawdads Radio Network. Bottom of the fourth inning here at LP France Stadium. Brian Rushing here with you on this Tuesday night, a 4-2 Asheville lead. It's Jake Bloss now given a 2-run advantage here in the bottom of the fourth inning. So face off against Josie Galan, Ian Moeller, and Daniel Mateo. The fastball from Blas at 92 misses down. Yossi Galan, a strikeout victim his first time up. The 1-0, Gallan lifts that ball out to right center field. It'll certainly stay in the yard, coming on to make the catch in right field for the tourist, Jackson Lofton. Of course, I mentioned earlier that it's Dollar Dog Tuesday. That is a common theme that we have here. And, of course, Education Day will be on Thursday. If you're looking for a promotional schedule or daily specials here at the ballpark, www.hickorycrawdads.com. For those of you that are tuning in, you know exactly what I'm talking about on the audio side as the pitch to Moeller taken for a strike. You already know the site because you're listening through the site. Check them out. Schedules, information about players, team store, always checking out the team store. You never know what's new in the team store. I'll be making another trip this week to pick up some garb because, let's be honest, when I'm on the road, I want to look like a guy that's going to rep the Crawdads because that's what I'm going to do. HickoryCrawdads.com is where you can make that happen. The pitch from Blas in the dirt. Count goes to 1-2. Gallan, Moeller, Mateo. One down here in the inning. Moeller back in the box, waits on the 1-2 from Blas. Breaking ball, fouled back to the screen. You can also find out about, for instance, some of the special concert nights that we're having. And then, of course, my favorite event, I think, this year is Moeller takes a fastball down at 95 miles an hour. The Battle of the Bags Cornhole Tournament brought to you by Ortho Carolina. It's cornhole, it's baseball. Enough said. $30 for two players. It comes with a T-shirt and tickets to the game. Rolled out to shortstop to throw across in time as Ryan Johnson makes the play over on the shortstop position, left side of the infield, two down here in the fourth inning. And that'll bring up Daniel Mateo. Mateo hit a ball deep to left center field. It ended up being good enough for a sacrifice fly. Two down here in the bottom of the fourth inning. As the breaking ball misses. Mateo swings and misses. Count evens at 1-1. Mateo swings and misses again. The count quickly goes to 1-2. Slider works the count even at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Mateo trying to extend this inning here in the fourth. As the Crawdads find themselves down 4-2. Here's the pitch. That ball lifted down the right field line. Does it have a chance of getting out? Might have had the distance as it kicked out of the bullpen. Unfortunately, the bullpen, or the viewing area of the bullpen, is in foul ground. I mentioned around the ball yard, an 8-foot-high wall. The first tier of the wall is 8-foot-high. It goes up considerably higher, but tiers 2 through 4 at varying points in the ballpark are all behind the first tier. There's a yellow line on top of the first tier wall. Anything above that is a home run. That ball's going to be lifted into the seats. Going to ricochet. And a young lady in a Crawdads jersey just about took one in the back and wouldn't have been any more aware. When it hits the concrete or the bricks up here on the concourse area, it can ricochet back at you very quickly. As Daniel Mateo swings and misses on the slider, it's a 1-2-3 inning for Jake Blas. As we go to the fifth. 4-2 in favor of the Asheville Tourists. We'll be back in just a bit on the Crawdads Radio Network.
You know the ones who give and give and then give some more. The brave ones who serve from the heart and choose love. Who make untold sacrifice to help others get ahead. And who are always there when you need them. We see you, and we're celebrating you. To the ones who help make us exceptional, thank you. People's Bank. Be exceptional. Visit peoplesbanknc.com. Member FDIC Equal Opportunity Lender. Top of the fifth inning. Brian Rushing here with you on this Tuesday night. The Asheville Tourist coming to town the first of six games. Seven tonight, six tomorrow, 11 a.m. on Thursday, 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, 2 o'clock. Daytime start on Sunday before the club goes out to Rome, Georgia. They'll go back to Rome for six games and then back. Then they'll go to Greenville for another six. It'll be the first prolonged road trip of the club's 2024 season. Of course, they'll get several opportunities to come back. In fact, they'll spend the next 2 weeks here against the Greensboro Grasshoppers and the Asheville Tourist. Skylar Hale's delivery, that ball's going to hit. Down toward the clubhouse. In fact, it's going to be on top of the clubhouse as Cam Fisher has walked twice in this contest, is down 1-2 to Skylar Hales. Hales, fastball up at 96. Count evens at 2-2. Cam Fisher, young man, not too far away on I-40, Morganton, North Carolina. Fastball elevated. At 95, Fisher can't catch up. He's the first out of the fifth inning. For Hales, that's his second punch out of the contest. As he came in with one down in the fourth. There's one down now in the fifth, and that's going to bring up Logan Cierney. Cierney hit a humpback liner out in the left field for a base knock. One of three hits for the Asheville Tourist. It's the breaking ball taken for a strike. 4-3-0 for the Tourist, 2-2-0 for the Hickory Crawdads. Is that pitch in tight? Cierney almost wore it. Count evens at 1-1. Cierney. Fouls the breaking ball back to the screen. Falls behind 1-2. The last couple of times that we have seen Skylar Hales pitch, it's been in late inning, high leverage situations. And he struggled the last couple of times, which is what's prompted Chad Comer to bring him in this situation, which is a little lower leverage, if we're being honest, but a situation for Hales to get back to some dominant pitching that we would expect from Skylar Hales this season. As Cierney checks his swing, they'll look down to first to appeal. Nothing happening there. Two ball, two strike count. Hales can't hold up on that one. Cierney a strikeout victim. Three consecutive batters have been struck out by Skylar Hales. And that brings up Narby Cruz, who's 0-2 in the ballgame.
including a ground out and a strikeout. Narby Cruz last year played for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. That's the low-A affiliate for the Houston Astros. Of course, there was a time before minor leagues realigned that the Carolina League was the high-A affiliates. South Atlantic League was the A affiliates. Well, in 2019, that flipped. Now the South Atlantic League is representative of high-A baseball. The Carolina League is representative of A-ball. And from that, the Carolina League's Fayetteville Woodpeckers have spent time in both the high-A and A-ball of minor league baseball. They started out as a high-A franchise as that pitch taken right down LR Boulevard. Count goes to 3-1. In the process of that, before the Fayetteville Woodpeckers ever migrated to Segra Stadium in Fayetteville, as the fastball cut on and miss works the count full. Prior to that, Fayetteville had their minor league teams, which were primarily Detroit Tigers franchises in their last incarnation at J.P. Riddle Stadium. Well, that's no more. It's fastball cut on and miss. Skyler Hales strikes out the side. I'll tell you more about the Fayetteville club when we come back on the other side of the break. We're halfway through and the kids are on the field. 4-2 lead for the Tourists. We'll be back on the Crawdads Radio Network. Bottom of the fifth inning, a 4-2 lead for Asheville. It's Marco Soto, Jason Morabell, Tucker Mitchell will bat 9-1-2 here in the order for the Crawdads. Soto, a strikeout victim, his only time up in the ballgame. The Crawdads, two runs on two hits, no errors. Need to get some offense percolating here in the middle innings. Soto tried to bunt his way on. I talked about during today's batting practice, this was a Crawdads club that spent more time working with bunting. The 0-2 misses down. They'll say that Soto went. Soto knew it. He started running. The throw down to first is in time. There's one down for a new pitcher. There's one down here in the bottom of the fifth inning, and a new pitcher on for the Asheville Tourist, Joey Mancini. Right-hander, 6'1", 211 out of Fairfield, Connecticut, a 15th-round pick in 2022 out of Boston College. That's the pitch to Morabell. A fastball at 91 miles an hour in the top of the zone, taken for a strike. So Jake Bloss's evening has come to a close. So he finishes four innings complete. He struck out seven, allowed two hits, two runs, both earned. As Mortebel swings and misses, the count moves to 1-2. We'll get to Mancini's numbers here in just a moment. Mancini delivers. Morabell fouls it into the mitt of Gilmet. And there's two down. Back-to-back strikeouts. That's nine strikeouts from Tourist pitching this evening. Tucker Mitchell walked his last time up, scored in the third inning. A single run for Asheville in the top of the second. The Crawdads equaled that in the bottom half of the inning to keep it tied at one apiece. They would score in the bottom of the third, making it 2-1. Asheville would retaliate as that ball hit back up the middle. It's going to be a two-out knock for Tucker Mitchell. Clean single back through the middle. Third hit of the evening for the Crawdads, and that keeps the inning alive for Sebastian Walcott. It was a three-run fourth that made the difference for the Tourist, and they enjoy now a 4-2 lead with Sebastian Walcott stepping to the plate. So Mitchell is on for the second time in this ballgame. It's Walcott. Fastball. Swings and misses. Mancini, no record on the year, 3.38 ERA, making his fourth appearance, eight innings. Five hits, three runs, all of them are earned. He's walked four, struck out five, a 185 average against for the right-hander Joey Mancini. There is a lot of colleges listed here on this roster. Georgetown, Monmouth, Northeastern State, Central Michigan, Miami, Boston College. That's just the pitchers. And there's one more I want to add here in just a moment. As Walcott sends that ball out to center field, it's going to get down for a base knock. Mitchell trying to get the third to throw there, not in time. Walcott's going to trail him to second using his speed. And there's runners at second and third with two down in the inning. Walcott hit a sinking line drive to center field. Tyler Whitaker tried to come up with the ball, got it on the short hop, tried to throw to third. Tucker Mitchell kept on running. There's runners now at second and third, and that's going to bring up Anthony Gutierrez. And an opportunity for Gutierrez to cut into this lead or potentially tie it up. And if he leaves the yard, Crawdads are back on top. Just going to kind of throw that out there for public consumption. Mancini will go out of the windup. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball taken for a strike. So Mitchell down at third. Walcott at second as he just took second on the throw. Back-to-back knocks for the Crawdads. Gutierrez has a single as that pitch was elevated maybe out of the zone. Swings and misses. The count goes to 0-2. Mancini has the sign. Here's the 0-2. Gutierrez swings and misses, but the ball gets to the backstop. Mitchell's going to score if they can make the play at first. Gutierrez was not able to get there. As the Tourist make the play, as they cut him down at first. So it's going to be a strikeout swinging, a 2-3 putout to end the inning. No runs scored for the Crawdads in the fifth. We go to the sixth inning, a 4-2 lead for the Tourist. We'll be back on the Crawdads Radio Network. Top of the sixth inning. Chad Comer goes to his bullpen. He's going to call on DJ McCarty. DJ McCarty, 6'1", 180-pound right-hander out of the Redlands, California. So the first pitch from McCarty misses. We'll get to his numbers as he faces Ryan Johnson, Garrett Gilmet, Jackson Lofton here in the sixth inning. Bottom third of the order as that ball is going to be twisted out beyond the picnic deck in foul territory. Count evens at 1-1. McCarty has made one appearance in a Crawdads uniform. No record, a 7.71 ERA. 2 1/3 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs. It was earned. He walked 3, struck out 1. The average 250. As that ball rolled out to third, fielded cleanly by Soto to throw a cross in plenty of time, and there's one down. Skyler Hales was very good in his outing. 1 2/3 innings pitched. He gave up a hit, struck out 4. He walked a batter. No runs earned on his own. 2 runners did score that were inherited. It's the first pitch from McCarty misses. Garrett Gilmet, no official at bat so far in the game. He's walked twice. So McCarty misses outside. 4-2 lead for Asheville. 4 runs on 3 hits, no errors for the Crawdads. 2-4-0. As that ball rolled foul on the third base side. Gilmet, breaking ball, cut on and miss. Count evens at 2-2. So I mentioned earlier the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Before they were the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, they spent 2 years, as that ball, soft liner, caught by Marco Soto. There's 2 down in the inning. That's going to bring up Jackson Lofton. Before they became the Fayetteville Woodpeckers playing at Segra Stadium, they spent 2 years in Buies Creek, North Carolina, as the Buies Creek Astros. The 2017, the 2018 season, they were in the Carolina League. The 2018 club actually won the Carolina League championship. As that ball hit out to third, Soto fields it, and Marco Soto records all 3 outs in the inning as he gets 2 assists and 1 put out. A 1-2-3 inning for DJ McCarty. We go to the bottom of the sixth. 4-2, Asheville leads here on the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Bottom of the sixth inning, a 4-2 lead for the Asheville Tourists. The first of a 6-game set between these two clubs, so closely connected together. I would say probably, 75 miles separating the two cities. I know that once I get into Asheville on I-40, it's around exit 45 roughly is the breaking ball to Blackwell, taken for a strike. It's Joey Mancini on for his second full inning of work. Of course, the 40 split with 321, which is the main thoroughfare north and south from Boone Blowing Rock all the way down into Gastonia, which is on the western edge of the Charlotte Metro. That's 321. I-40 pretty much goes from one end of the state to the other. Right there at that split, you've got exit 123. So roughly 75 miles, maybe 80, separating these two. As the pitch cut on a miss, Blackwell, a strikeout victim. It's the fourth strikeout for Mancini, the 11th for Asheville pitching, and that brings up Yossi Galan. Yossi Galan 0 for 2 in the ballgame. Folks, don't forget you can reach out to me a couple of ways throughout the course of the evening. Let me know that you're tuning in this evening. Would love to hear from you. Scalon had to vacate the premises as that pitch got a little too up and a little too in. Want to know the count? You can find me through email, brush@hickorycrawdads.com. As that ball tapped back to the mound, Mancini, underhand flip over to Fisher at first, and there's quickly two down. brush@hickorycrawdads.com. Want to let me know that you're tuning in this evening, or if you've got a question for me, would love to hear from you. On X or Twitter, whatever you prefer to call that, at What's Up B-Rush PXP. Ian Moeller, 0 for 1 in the ballgame, ground out to short and a walk. Breaking ball taken for a strike. Pitching staff for this Asheville club I mentioned had a lot of colleges attached to it. As Moeller swings and misses, the count 0-2. A lot of locals are going to be interested in seeing Ian Fago. Fago, a free agent pick, or a free agent sign, I should say, in 2021 out of Lenoir Ryan University right here in Hickory, North Carolina. It's Mancini. Breaking ball. Misses wide. Moeller checks on the swing. The Lenoir Ryan Bears, that's where Lenoir Ryan Boulevard comes from. About 5 miles as the crow flies. Maybe. Mancini, his offering, misses way up tight. Count evens at 2-2. So Ian Fago on the roster for the Asheville Tourists. There's also Pascanel Ferraris, 20th round pick out of Western Carolina, which is just west of Asheville. And the Southern Conference, so a lot of local flair, especially on the college side, for this Asheville roster. As that breaking ball misses, now the count runs full. And then you got Cam Fisher, who grew up about 20 miles away from this ballpark. Moeller lifts that one off the facade. It's going to make its way down to the seats. .841 in the evening, and the skies are dark. The lights illuminating the ballpark here. Payoff pitch. Swung on and missed. Moeller, a strikeout victim. We go to the seventh. A 4-2 lead for Asheville. We'll be back in just a bit on the Crawdads Radio Network.
You know the ones who give and give and then give some more. The brave ones who serve from the heart and choose love. Who make untold sacrifice to help others get ahead. And who are always there when you need them. We see you and we're celebrating you. To the ones who help make us exceptional. Thank you. People's Bank. Be exceptional. Visit peoplesbanknc.com. Member FDIC Equal Opportunity Lender.
Through six innings here in Hickory, A 4-2 lead for the Asheville Tourists in the first of a six-game set. The Asheville Tourists will be here this week. They'll be here in the month of May. And that's it. They'll make all of their trips to L.P. Franz Stadium before Memorial Day. Now, that's not to say that the Crawdads won't be making a couple of trips to Asheville, because that's absolutely going to be the case. In fact, this club is going to be making their way to Asheville in July, the last part of July going into August, and then they're going to close out August into September, making the trip to McCormick Field. It's the first pitch from McCarthy to Jaron Williams, misses. Sad ball smashed out into center field. McCarthy had to duck as that was a little too close for his comfort. A leadoff single for Jaron Williams. He's got two knocks in the ballgame. And that brings up Tyler Whitaker. Jaron Williams has had the big hit in this ballgame. A 2-2 ballgame. He got a two RBI single in the fourth inning, part of that three-run fourth. It's the breaking ball from McCarthy, misses inside. Williams now with a multi-hit ballgame, 2-for-4 with two singles, two runs driven in. Breaking ball lifted out to center field. Gutierrez has it measured. Makes the catch. Gets it back in quickly. One down here in the seventh inning. That'll bring up Luis Baez. Baez 0-for-3 in the ballgame, all by way of the strikeout. Asheville will be back at L.P. Franz Stadium May 21st through the 26th. The Sunday game is going to actually be a 6:30 start instead of the usual 2 o'clock Sunday game, because the following day is Memorial Day. The club is going to go to Winston-Salem and play on Memorial Day and then take Tuesday off. It's the breaking ball taken for a strike. Then they'll be going to McCormick Field July 30th through August the 4th, and then August 27th through September 1. That's the final road trip of the year for the Crawdads in 2024, as McCarthy misses. Baez a strikeout victim in the first, third, and fourth innings. It's that pitch rolled out to Walcott at short. He'll touch the second base bag. The throw in plenty of time. A 6-3 twin killing to end the seventh inning. We go to stretch. Bottom of the seventh coming up, a 4-2 Asheville lead here on the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Bottom of the seventh inning. Asheville with a 4-2 advantage, a three-run fourth inning, the difference for Asheville. Daniel Mateo, Marco Soto, Jason Morabell, 8-9-1 in the order. Time for the Crawdads to get some runs. We just had a spirited rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We've played the YMCA. The fans are fully stretched out. Now it's time for some runs. It's Mateo. Takes the first pitch from Mancini. Mancini working on his third inning of relief here as he came in the fifth. The off-speed pitch swung on and missed by Mateo. Mateo 0-for-2 in the ballgame. Or I should say 0-for-1 in the ballgame. He does have a sac fly to left center field. And that ball goes all the way to the backstop. No bounce, nothing off the track, straight to the netting. If you're in the first row, you probably blinked. As that pitch misses down, the count now goes to 3-1. There is some stirring in the Asheville bullpen. There was some throwing in the Hickory bullpen. As McCarthy has thrown two complete. As that ball is going to be lifted back against the screen, the count full. DJ McCarthy has been very steady in his appearance, his second outing, a very positive one. Mancini wheels and fires the payoff. That ball is going to be lifted over to the right side concourse area, out of play. The payoff again. Breaking ball, and Daniel Mateo draws a walk. So when the Crawdads have had runners on base, which was happening in the early innings, they were stealing bases. Now we're getting later into the contest. Does the approach change for the Crawdads? Marco Soto will step to the plate. He's 0-for-2 in the ballgame. We'll see. Mateo being held on by Fisher. Obviously the tourists think that this club is still going to be in motion as they throw over to first. So glad you could join us on this Tuesday night. Soto lifts that ball foul over toward the party porch for all the party people. Mateo goes. They'll throw down to second, and now Mateo's in a rundown. And that's going to be an easy tag of Daniel Mateo. Joey Mancini held. As Chad Comer's going to come over and have a conversation with the first base umpire. Maybe there was something there. Maybe he's trying to see if there was some sort of obstruction to be called. As Mateo was stuck between first and second. Mateo broke for second well before Mancini had even thought of lifting his leg. He was getting the call that folks were giving him that Mateo was off to the races. All he had to do was calmly step off the slab and throw to second. And that's what triggered the rundown. The breaking ball taken at the knees for a strike. Marco Soto falls behind 0-2. So now one down in the bottom of the seventh inning. Soto takes a fastball up and out of the zone at 90 miles an hour. Here's the pitch. Misses outside. 2-2 the count. Tomorrow night, first pitch, 6 p.m., will be on the air at 5:45 on MILB.TV as well as HickoryCrawdads.com. The audio apparatus is Soto, swings and misses. There's now two down. Joey Mancini has six punch-outs in 2 2/3 innings of work. 13 crawdads have struck out this evening. As Morabell takes a breaking ball for a strike, and that's fine as long as the crawdads can rally late and push across some runs and get a win this evening. The 1-1 to Morabell. Morabell takes a changeup down. Count 2-1. It's Morabell's going to lift that one over to the third base side, up and out of play. The third baseman, Jaron Williams, is playing about 45, 50 feet away from the third base bag, because that ball is going to be rolled foul over on the first base side. If Morabell decided to just push a ball on a half swing even toward the third base bag and it sits fair, it's going to be an easy base knock. Asheville's playing against something bigger, as Morabell's going to lift that elevated pitch out beyond the press box area and onto the concourse. And now Morabell's going to call time to try to recollect. Four runs on four hits, no errors for Asheville. 2-4-0 for the Crawdads. The 2-2 for Mancini. Morabell gets just a piece of it to stay alive. There's no active throwing in the bullpen for the Crawdads. Take for that what you will. As Mancini misses outside, count runs full. Tucker Mitchell is on deck if Morabell can extend the inning. So this Crawdads club just a bloop and a blast away from tying it up. The 3-2. That ball's going to get hit sharply out to second. Fielded by Narby Cruz. The throw to first in time. A 1-2-3 inning. For the Crawdads, we go to the eighth. A 4-2 lead for Asheville. We'll be back in just a bit on the Crawdads Radio Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Top of the eighth inning, a 4-2 lead for the Asheville Tourists. So it'll be Cam Fisher to lead things off for the Tourists. Fisher, Cerny, and Cruz, 4, 5, and 6 in the order. It's DJ McCarthy back on the bump for the Crawdads. So Chad Comer seems to agree with the effectiveness of McCarty, breaking ball taken for strike one. Single runs for Hickory in the second and third inning, but they've not been able to put up a crooked number. As Fisher swings and misses. Fisher in the ballgame. Two walks, a strikeout. That's it. 0 for 1 in the ballgame. Fisher, did he hold up? No, he did not. He strikes out on the elevated 91-mile-an-hour fastball. There's one down in the eighth. So McCarthy now 2 1/3 innings pitched. It's his first strikeout. It's the pitch to Logan Cerny taken for a strike. Skylar Hales struck out four batters in his inning and 2/3. McCarthy, if he completes this inning, he will have spun three innings. And if it's another scoreless frame, it'll be three scoreless frames to his credit. As he's allowed just a seventh inning single to Jaron Williams, and that runner in Williams was retired on a ground ball double play off the bat of Luis Baez. Two ball, one strike count to Logan Cerny. Cerny 1 for 3 in the ballgame as he takes a strike to even the count at 2-2. The weather just absolutely phenomenal. Maybe still a little chilly as the breaking ball misses outside to run the count full. The evening temps up in this area, probably still a little chilly. You're probably adding a layer, maybe, when you go to bed. But the temperature's utterly delightful. I think I saw the temperature read in left center field, 77 degrees at one time during batting practice. It's a very comfortable 64 right now. That breaking ball is going to be fouled back again into the concourse area. And we'll do the 3-2 all over again. I mean, again, there were days in Greensboro where the temperature got up into the upper 80s. Did the same thing a couple of occasions here. As that pitch gets Cerny on the inner third. Back-to-back strikeouts. This one looking. There's two down in the eighth. When it's middle of late April and the temperature's in the mid to upper 80s, it's a little bit of a shock to the system. However, mid to upper 70s, that's pretty much perfect. I mean, that's sleeping with the windows open kind of weather around these parts. It's the breaking ball taken for a strike. McCarthy swing and a miss of Narbe Cruz. Cruz 0 for 3 in the ballgame. A strikeout, a ground out, and a strikeout. And if McCarthy can end with a flurry, and he will, that's a phenomenal effort tonight from J.D. McCarthy. Or D.J. McCarthy. Three innings, strikes out the side in the eighth. We go to the bottom of the eighth. It's getting late for the Crawdads. 4-2 Asheville lead. We'll be right back. Bottom of the eighth inning, and just as much as Chad Comer liked what he saw from DJ McCarthy. Nate Shaver doing the same thing for Joey Mancini. Mancini back on for what is now going to be a fourth inning of relief. Mancini has been very good. It's the first pitch to Tucker Mitchell, taken for a strike. Mitchell, Walcott, Gutierrez, 2-3-4. This is the time for the Crawdads. They're just a bloop and a blast away from tying this game up. It's Mitchell. Ball lifted out to right field. It's going to get down for a base hit. Tucker Mitchell's got himself a multi-hit ball game. Fifth hit for the Crawdads. So he hit that one off the end of his bat a little bit. It sounded much louder than it really was as he lift the ball out over the second baseman's head in front of the right fielder, Jackson Lofton. And we got the bloop. Now we just need the blast. Could it come off the bat of Sebastian Walcott? We'll see. Walcott's hit a couple of baseballs in the last week or so that could have easily left the yard. He hit one in Greensboro on Friday night that almost got out of the yard. And it certainly put a jolt into the left fielder as he took a significant shot to the left field wall. Here's the pitch to Walcott, taken for a strike. The count goes to 2-1. Walcott has been putting better swings on the ball as of late and has the contact to prove it. As that pitch fouled straight back to the screen. 86 miles an hour on the breaking pitch. 2-2 the count. Got another email. I want to say hello to some folks tuning in from not too far away. Whether you're listening up in the high country, Watauga County, or out near McDowell County, we're so glad that you're tuning in this evening. One of the oddities, I mean, you've got the Unifor area, you've got Hickory, and Hickory, much of the town is in the northwestern part of Catawba County. I'll explain why that matters here in just a moment. The 2-2. Walcott gets a piece of it. Stays alive. You go through Hickory. Up 321. You take the left at Clement Boulevard. By the time you actually get to the ballpark, you're technically in Burke County. You see the regional airport on the top of the hill as Walcott takes the breaking ball inside to run the count full. So my trip starts almost in South Carolina, goes up through Lincoln County, much of Gaston County, and then Catawba County. And then, for a brief moment, I'm in Burke County. As Walcott swings and misses on an elevated 91-mile-an-hour fastball, he's the first out of the eighth inning. So we want to say hello to Ron and Timberly Adams. I want to thank you guys for tuning in this evening. As Anthony Gutierrez will step to the plate, if you would like to send me an email, let me know where you're tuning in this evening. brush@hickorycrawdads.com. It's Gutierrez swinging for the downs, trying to hit it to the Pepsi factory. Misses. Count goes to 0-1. Gutierrez is going to lift that one out into left field. It's going to get down for a base hit. Tucker Mitchell's going to stop at second. And now there's a little something brewing here for the Crawdads, and it's just in time. Ben Blackwell will step to the plate with an opportunity to maybe draw this one a little bit closer. And that could be the end of the night for Joey Mancini. So there's definitely going to be a mound visit, that's for sure. I haven't really seen any movement in the bullpen for for Asheville. That's not to say that it's not happening. You've got two bullpen mounds over on the first base side. I can see one plenty clearly. The other one, a little more obscured. So if there was somebody over in the other one, I just simply wasn't noticing it. The Hickory Crawdads don't have anybody in their bullpen. That's not to say they don't have somebody on the ready. They could go with McCarty. McCarthy has been really good so far. That's just going to be a mound visit, and that's we're going to start to see some throwing now in the tourists' bullpen. It's Ben Blackwell will step to the plate. One down, runners at first and second. Could this be the opportunity the Crawdads have been looking for? A chance for a crooked number. As Blackwell's going to roll that one foul near what would be the fungo circle over on the first base side. There are no fungo circles here at this ballpark. Fungo circles are becoming a thing of the past at many ballparks. Blackwell sends a shot into right center field. One run is certainly going to score. Gutierrez is going to be on his horse, and they're going to send him home. They're going to have to put a perfect throw on, and it is a perfect throw. Goodness gracious. They tried to score Gutierrez from first. I think it absolutely was the right call because they were going to force him to make a play, and that's exactly what they do. Ben Blackwell's going to get the RBI double. So he's in scoring position with two down, and that brings up Yossi Gallant. But this is a club that desperately needed to put a crooked number up on the board. Chad Comer rolled the dice, and Asheville made a play. Tip your cap to the tourist on the relay. Doggone it. I do not blame Comer for sending Gutierrez. He's got plenty of speed. They just executed the relay quite well. Gallon takes the first pitch ball. It's a 4-3 ball game. Blackwell with the RBI double. So the count now 2-0. Joey Mancini with two down here in the eighth, a runner at second. If Yossi Gallant gets a base knock here, we could very well have ourselves a tie ball game. If Yossi Gallant does Yossi Gallant type things here, however, that could be quite intriguing. Two ball, one strike count to Gallant. Mancini sets, hold at the belt. Here's the pitch. Gallant was going to pull the trigger. Saw the ball was spinning toward the outside edge. Took the pitch. Scoreboard says 2-2. Did the umpire put up three balls or two? Guess we're going to find out together here in just a moment. Mancini. That ball bounced back to the mound. Mancini's going to race out to first, flip it over to Cam Fisher, and that'll take care of the eighth inning. But the Crawdads do get a run. They cut the lead in half. We go to the ninth, 4-3. Asheville, we'll be back in just a bit on the Crawdads Radio Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
DJ McCarthy is back on to pitch the ninth inning for the Crawdads. A 4-3 ball game. Hickory was able to scratch across a run in the bottom of the eighth inning. So it'll be Ryan Johnson, Garrett Gilmet, Jackson Lofton, bottom third of the order for Asheville as they are hanging on to a one-run advantage. Four runs on four hits, no errors for the Tourist. 3-7-0 for the Crawdads. As that ball is going to be lifted out into very shallow right field. Blackwell was going over, but Tucker Mitchell called him off, makes the catch. One pitch, one out here in the ninth. That brings up Garrett Gilmet. Gilmet, soft liner. Over to third, his last time up. McCarthy, fastball at 90, cut on and missed by Gilmet. DJ McCarthy. That breaking ball lifted out to left center field. Gutierrez going to give way to Jason Morabell, who makes the catch. There's quickly two down. For the Crawdads, if you're interested, if you're curious, Ian Moeller, Daniel Mateo, Marco Soto, bottom third of the order to bat for Hickory in the ninth inning. Jackson Lofton to the plate. McCarthy pours it right down LR Boulevard. Strike one. Want to say hello to a couple tuning in this evening. As the pitch misses from McCarthy. Brian and Beverly Foster checking out the action in Fairfax County, Virginia. Near the beltway, is that ball driven out to center field? Gutierrez is on his horse. He's going to make the catch at the base of the track. It's a 1-2-3 inning for DJ McCarthy, and that takes us to the bottom of the ninth inning. Brian and Beverly, thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully, we got a walk-off rally in the bag coming up in the ninth inning. We'll find out together here on the Crawdads Radio Network. Bottom of the ninth inning. Jeremy Malero, 6'2", 226-pound right-hander out of Valencia, Venezuela. A free agent signing from 2017 is on to close it out for the Tourist. Malero, no record on the year, no ERA, making his fourth appearance. Does have a hold to his credit. 3 1/3 innings, 2 hits, 4 runs, none earned. 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, a 278, no correction, 154 average against. 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. It's Malero. Throws a strike, count evens to Ian Moeller, at 1-1. Molero, when he goes plateward, kind of curls the ball. I've seen this before, but unfortunately, the major leaguer doesn't really come to my recall. But kind of curls it behind his back and then delivers. And it creates a little bit of hesitation for the hitter. Molero right now, though, with a 3-1 count. We'll see what happens here as that ball is going to be lifted down the right field line. That's a long way to go for the right fielder. It looks like he's going to be able to check up and make the catch as Jackson Lofton catches the first out here in the ninth inning. And that's going to bring up Daniel Mateo. Mateo walked his last time up, and then he was caught trying to get to second, and a caught stealing that ultimately led to a rundown. Molero misses outside. Well, there is some stirring in the bullpen for Hickory. I would imagine that DJ McCarthy's evening has come to a close, and it was a sterling effort. So the slider misses outside to Mateo. McCarthy has gone four innings. He gave up one hit, struck out three batters, no walks. He was sensational. Molero, fastball. That ball might have gotten through, didn't quite get through. His fielding the ball was Narbe Cruz. I thought for a second it might have slipped through. It's a 4-3 put out, and now there's two down. That's going to bring up Marco Soto. The last possible hope for the Crawdads in this ninth inning. Maybe he can keep the line moving as they're down to their final out. Molero. Fastball poured to the outer half, taken for strike one. Jason Morabell is on deck if Soto can keep the inning alive. Molero, that ball driven to the right side. It's going to be foul as it lands in the bullpen over on the Asheville side. 0-2 the count. Soto down to his final strike. He's 0-3 in the ballgame. Molero, the 0-2. Misses down and away. Crawdads have out-hit the tourists this evening. They just need an extra run. Sad ball. Hit out to shortstop. Fielded at short by Ryan Johnson. The throw across is in time. And the game is over. 2 hours and 20 minutes was the time of the game. The Asheville Tourists open up with a win in the six-game set, 4-3 over the Hickory Crawdads. We'll be back in just a moment for the Crawdads postgame show here on the Crawdads Radio Network. We'll be right back. Back here at LP Franz Stadium, 4-3 win for Asheville here on this Tuesday night. Let's go ahead and dive right into the Crawdads postgame show. As Asheville wins the game in 2 hours and 20 minutes, 4-3. Here are the final line scores in the ballgame. Asheville, 4 runs on 4 hits, no errors. The Crawdads, 3 runs on 7 hits, no errors, getting the win. Joey Mancini. Joey Mancini went four innings of relief work for Asheville. He was very solid. He and DJ McCarthy really spun the ball well in relief for their respective clubs. As Mancini goes to 1-0 on the year, Brock Porter falls to 0-2 on the season. Getting the saves, Malero, as Jeremy Malero gets save number one on the year for the Tourist, as the Asheville Tourists now improve their record to 7-8 on the season. The Hickory Crawdads fall to 5-10. As this was a ball game that Asheville got their first run of the game in the second inning. As Cam Fisher drew a walk with two down in the inning, as he would ultimately get a steal of second in the top of the second inning. And then it was an RBI single for Ryan Johnson. He would ultimately be cut down trying to steal second in the top of the second inning. And the Tourist had the 1-0 advantage. Hickory would retaliate in the bottom of the second inning. As Ben Blackwell would get a base knock, he would ultimately score. He stole a couple of bases in the frame. Daniel Mateo would hit the ball deep to left center field. Didn't quite have enough to leave the yard, but it was obviously enough for Daniel Mateo to get a sacrifice fly as Blackwell scored to make it 1-1. Then this was the ballgame. A three-run fourth inning for Asheville as Cam Fisher led off the inning with a walk. Logan Cierney hit a soft line drive, a humpback liner, out into left field. Runners were at first and second. Narby Cruz grounded to short. Everybody advanced 90 feet on the play as they were in motion. Ryan Johnson walked, and then it was Garrett Gilmet who got an RBI bases-loaded walk to make it 2-2 at that time. After Jackson Lofton foul popped to first for the second out of the inning, Jaron Williams had the play of the game as he would hit a ball back through the middle to score two runs. Made it a 4-2 game at that time as Skylar Hales came into the game, and that was the only hit that he allowed. This relief corps was really solid this evening for the Hickory Crawdads. They went 5 2/3, allowing just two hits in this ballgame. They struck out seven. They walked only one. Of course, DJ McCarthy came in the sixth inning. He finished up for the Crawdads as he gave this club a very solid outing with four innings, allowing one walk. He struck out three hitters in the course of the action. In the bottom of the eighth inning, the Crawdads would scratch across a run, and this was the play of the game for the Crawdads, because when you are a club that's not putting up big, big numbers offensively, you have to take some risks. And so what happened in the eighth inning is you've got Tucker Mitchell, who leads off with a single. Sebastian Walcott would strike out for the first out of the inning. Anthony Gutierrez would single. And now all of a sudden you've got runners at first and second. Ben Blackwell hits a sinking line drive double into the right center field gap. Tucker Mitchell scored easily. Anthony Gutierrez, who has very good speed, ran around the bases. Chad Comer sent him home. It was going to require Asheville to execute a perfect relay, and that's exactly what they did. As the throw came in plenty of time for the catcher, Garrett Gilmet, to apply the tag to Anthony Gutierrez, and that was the second out of the inning. And then from that point, Yossi Galan stepped to the plate, bounced back to the mound, and that was the end of the threat. As the Crawdads scratched across a run, made it a 4-3 ball game, gave themselves an opportunity. If they could score one run in the bottom of the ninth, they were unable to do so as Jeremy Malero gets the save. A 1-2-3 inning in the ninth, and that closed things out. So the Hickory Crawdads will now turn their attention tomorrow to try to level out this series. We're going to be on the air tomorrow at 5:45 for a 6 o'clock first pitch. That'll be game two of this series. Don't forget, Thursday is an 11 a.m. start. We'll be on the air at 10:45 a.m., so make sure that you've got your computer ready to listen to the Hickory Crawdads on HickoryCrawdads.com. A lot of folks that we want to thank this evening: Douglas LoCascio, Ashley Salinas, the crew here with the Hickory Crawdads. We want to thank you for tuning in, as it was a gorgeous night for baseball, and it was a privilege to bring the action to you this evening. Don't forget, throughout the week, you can reach out to me through email, brush@hickorycrawdads.com. That's brush@hickorycrawdads.com. You can reach out to me on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at What's Up B-Rush PXP. That's at What's Up B-Rush PXP. We're going to call it a night here at LP Franz Stadium, a 4-3 win for Asheville. Until we're back with you tomorrow at 5:45, have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Crawdads Radio Network.